Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
If you're an experienced pet owner, you already know that having a pet is 25% belly rubs, 25% yelling, drop it, and 50% groaning at the bill from every pet visit. Which is why Lemonade Pet Insurance is tailor-made for your pet and can save you up to 90% on vet bills. It can help cover checkups, emergencies, diagnostics, basically all the stuff that makes your bank account get nervous. Claims are filed super easily through the Lemonade app and half get settled instantly. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet and they'll help cover the vet bill for whatever your pet swallowed after you yelled, drop it.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it. And my goodness, we've been doing this for a long time, and Jonathan and I still enjoy it. I am so excited to have joined us for this first interview, Kim Schultz, playwright and performer of The Root Beer Lady. That's right. The Root Beer Lady was written and performed by Kim Schultz, directed by Addie Gordon-Lynn. And it starts January 28th, so it's already happening. It's already a day in through February 19th. Now, the performances are Thursday at 10 a.m. and then Thursday through Saturday at 7:30 p.m. My goodness. And Sunday, 2 p.m. Let me say that again. Thursday, 10 a.m. And then Thursday through Saturday, 7:30 p.m. and Sunday, 2 p.m. All dates are subject to change, so make sure you stay in touch with the theater. It's all about taking a break and enjoy the beauty of the Boundary Waters with one of the Northwood's dearest and most colorful residents, Dorothy Moulter. I can't wait to hear more about it. So let's have Kim Schultz join us. How are you, Kim?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad that you could join us. Okay, first of all, when I started reading all about this, I was just going, wow, is this for real? Is this character someone that actually was the Root Beer Lady?
Yeah, I know, right? I thought the same thing when I first heard about her. Yeah, she's almost folk hero status, I think, in Minnesota. Lots of people have stories that they have shared with us through this process with their experience with Dorothy Moulter, the Root Beer Lady. She became quite famous in her own right. And the first time I heard about it, I was immediately hooked.
You know, she has two monikers. She's called the Root Beer Lady, as you just suggested, but she also is recalled as the Nightingale of the Wilderness, or simply Dorothy. It's really quite remarkable. Tell us about her and why this story was written about her.
Yeah, I think she's a remarkable woman. I think that she is a role model as a woman who broke the mores of her time and lived against expectations of what everyone was expecting of her and of women in general. In 1930 was her first trip up to the Boundary, what is now the Boundary Waters, then the North Woods, northeastern Minnesota, and she fell in love immediately. And for me, this play is a love story. It's her story of her love with that area, and going against family and society expectations to live the life that she wanted to live, which ended up being a fairly isolated, although not completely, life alone in nature, with nature. So
that's,
I think,
really
that
incredible
story. Yeah, I think it really is incredible. I think she was an incredible woman.
You say that the play is funny and passionate, explores her independence, fortitude, and love of nature, and pushes back against the premise that her time in North Woods made her the loneliest woman in America. When I read that, I have to tell you, it kind of piqued my heart, you know? It's like this ping in my heart when I read that, because all of a sudden it felt sad to me, and I'm sure that's not what this is. Right?
Yeah, no, not at all. She had an interview with a writer named Andrew Hamilton in 1952, and he dubbed her the loneliest woman in America. And she pushed back on that, and I have her certainly pushing back on that in my play, and that she did not think she was lonely, let alone the loneliest woman in America. And she pushed. I have her pushing back on, you know, would they have said that if it was a man, or was it, you know, sexism that expected that a woman would be lonely, whereas a man would not? And so in the play, we explore the themes of being alone and being lonely, and what are the differences? And was she, in fact, you know, the loneliest woman in America, or was she, you know, maybe one of the luckiest women in America who happened to live, who happened to make the choice bravely to live the kind of life that she wanted to live. And I think, you know, I think I have her push back. My hope is that she pushes back on the narrative of that, of all of the narratives, and that, and it was actually part of why I wanted it to be a solo show as well, in that I wanted her to tell her story. I wanted her to tell the narrative and to reclaim her narrative, instead of having her life be told for her.
It sounds like a story that we would all be interested in, most of us here in Minnesota. The Boundary Waters is beautiful. It's something that we have talked about. It's being taught in schools, elementary schools, and so much more. And as we look at an idea of a story like this, I'm curious to know how you prepared. You have written this story. You are performing this one person a show. And Kim, I have to tell you, I can just imagine how much energy it will take for you to do this between now and when it ends. How are you preparing for that?
Oh, it's so funny. This is my third solo show, but I always forget how big they are and what mountains they are to climb. And you're catching me too. We just opened last night, as you mentioned, and had a matinee today. So we just finished our technical work of the week and opening, and I am indeed exhausted. but my preparation for the writing of it was certainly reading books that have been written about her and visiting the museum, the Dorothy Moulter Museum up in Ely, and basically reading and watching every single thing I could on her, so I could learn every bit of information that I could glean from her. And then trying to figure out what are the most important stories and how can I tell her story best. And so that's been a journey as a writer in terms of trying to create a story that is engaging, because she was also witty and she was feisty. And, you know, what she has to be to live alone in the wilderness, you know, for 56 years. So I think she's just an amazingly unique person and personality, and I hope that comes across on stage. So my goal as a performer is to communicate that with the audience and show her as a full person, and not just as the headline, you know, that we get to see who Dorothy Moulter really is, and also the people around her. So I play, not only do I play Dorothy Moulter at various ages and stages in her life, but I also play some of the more important key players in her life, her father, Bill Berglund, who owned the cabin in the islands initially when she went up there in 1930, and some of the other important people, her sister and other people who visit her. And so I play all the various characters that informed her and her story as well. So it's a blast, and I think it's funny and lots of comedy and certainly some tear-jerking moments as well, that, you know, really hopefully encapsulates a life well lived, which is one of the headlines that was posted after her death.
It really matters what she has been through, and to know that you decided to do this particular piece, I'm curious to know, is she mostly known as the Root Beer Lady or more so as Dorothy Moulter?
I think she's mostly known as the Root Beer Lady. Anytime you say Root Beer Lady in Minnesota, I think you can't get very far without somebody saying, "Ah, I saw her," or my Boy Scout troop, or my uncle, or, you know, and Dorothy made us cheese sandwiches, and Dorothy, we loved her root beer. And so I think that I think she's a legend in Minnesota in particular, as a last non-Indigenous resident of the Boundary Waters, what is now the Boundary Waters. And I think that she has a powerful following. I think a lot of people know about her. And I think that that's represented by many audience members emailing me and, you know, talking to me after the show, everyone sharing their own Dorothy story. So I hope that I am doing justice to her in this play.
Wow, that sounds like a book that's on the way, you know, making sure that you write her story down. That's really quite remarkable. I'm just curious to know, one of the quotations in some of your publicity says, she said, "I never intended to live on a remote island in northeastern Minnesota, steps from the Canadian border at the edge of, well, everything. I mean, who would intend such a thing?" That really left me thinking, because I'm sure most of us would never just say, we're going to go to the, you know, edge of the world and we'll be looking at Canada, you know, just steps away. I'm just curious to know, did she decide to do this on her own? Was her family okay with it? Did they think something was wrong with her for making that decision?
She ended up there kind of by accident. Her father had been going up there for a few years, up to, it's called Isle of Pines on Knife Lake. And it is a series of small islands on Knife Lake, Isle of Pines. And her father had been going up there and invited her to tag along as one of his fishing buddies got sick. So her father and her stepmother and a couple other gentlemen went, so she agreed, and that was her first visit to Isle of Pines and Knife Lake. And so I do write it as, you know, it wasn't even necessarily going to happen. It was an accident just because she said yes. And then she immediately fell in love. And she had that first trip, which I think was kind of a life-changing and profound experience for her. And then she returned home to Chicago. And Bill Berglund, who I mentioned earlier as the owner of the resort, initially invited her to come and work for the summer because she was a hard worker and strong, and I think he was impressed by her. And so her Dorothy was a nurse by trade. She had a nursing degree, but this was the beginning of the Great Depression, and she couldn't find any nursing work. So I think her father was a little bit more inclined to say yes to her going up, even though it was, you know, perhaps a bit strange for a 23-year-old to, you know, to go up by herself. But she was working and making
23. Wow.
Yeah, and she's making a living up there.
Oh, Kim, I wish we had more time. Can you tell us exactly? It's already open. Yesterday it opened. It goes through February 19th. Is there anything else we need to know about ticket prices or where we go to find out where to go to get the tickets?
You can find it, all the information, on the History Theater website, and it's directed by Addie Gorlin-Hahn. We have shows Thursday through Sunday, like you said, through February 19th. And I hope that your listeners will take a trip to the Boundary Waters and join us in this story of Dorothy Moulter.
The History Theater continues to do great work. Thank you so much for joining us, Kim. I really appreciate
it. Thanks for having me. Yeah, you bet. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, it's the History Theater, that's spelled T-H-E-A-T-R-E. Okay, historytheater.com for tickets. We're going to take a break and come back with Barry Kornhauser, playwright of Corduroy. I think it's Corduroy. We'll find out.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
If you're an experienced pet owner, you already know that having a pet is 25% belly rubs, 25% yelling, drop it, and 50% groaning at the bill from every pet visit. Which is why Lemonade Pet Insurance is tailor-made for your pet and can save you up to 90% on vet bills. It can help cover checkups, emergencies, diagnostics, basically all the stuff that makes your bank account get nervous. Claims are filed super easily through the Lemonade app and half get settled instantly. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet and they'll help cover the vet bill for whatever your pet swallowed after you yelled, drop it.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Welcome back to Center Stage. My next guest is Barry Kornhauser, playwright of Corduroy. And he's joining us to talk about, of course, he's an award-winning playwright of Children's Theater Company's upcoming production of Corduroy. And let me just tell you a little bit about him. He is delighted to have Corduroy resume his button search at CTC, which is Children's Theater Company, where the stage adaptation of this beloved story premiered in 2018 before winning the American Alliance for Theater and Education Distinguished Play Award, and moving on to further productions nationwide. Other of Barry's plays commissioned and first produced at CTC are Ivy Award recipient Reeling, Burden and Ernie, Good Night, Madeline Joins the Circus, and yet another AATE Distinguished Play winner, Balloonacy. So, oh my gosh, he is accomplished and he is joining us tonight. Hello, Barry. How are you?
Hi, Carolyn. Thank you so much for inviting me onto your program. I'm fine.
Well, it's a pleasure, sir. You must be so excited about Corduroy. Tell me how you got involved and became the one who knows so much about Corduroy.
Well, I have Children's Theater Company very much to thank for that. The book was written now a little bit over 50 years ago, and on the anniversary, the 50th anniversary of its publication back in 2018, the Children's Company made an effort to reach out to the estate of the author, Don Friedman, to see if finally, after all those years, they would allow for a stage adaptation. And because of Children's Theater Company's sterling reputation in the field, I think they said yes, and Peter Brocious, the director there, was kind enough to offer me the opportunity to do that adaptation.
Yeah, we're lucky to have him. You know, you have focused on plays for family audiences, so it's perfect at the Children's Theater Company. At the same time, I'm just curious to know why that? Why did you begin there?
Oh, well, I guess I've always been interested in working for children. I mean, my first job was probably that as a camp counselor. I went on to do work in nursery schools and public school teaching. I studied in college child development and behavior, which was a combination of psychology, education, anthropology. I was really interested in cross-cultural child rearing and that sort of thing. So the opportunity to write for children, you know, was just perfect.
Well, I tell you, so many people know the books about Corduroy, right, based on the books Corduroy and A Pocket for Corduroy by Don Freeman and so much more. And, you know, when you start talking about this particular character, a lot of children wake up and say, yes, yes, mommy, please, daddy, please take me to this piece. And so I know that you're hearing great things about it so far. Tell me why this really means so much to you and why this was chosen.
Okay, well, I think you have to keep in mind that this is a little book with a very big heart. And I guess that's why it has endured in popularity for more than 50 years now and why it's been widely regarded as one of the top 100 picture books of all time. And I think it's mostly because there's something every child can relate to in this classic story, and I would suggest adults too for that matter. The young audience members of this production get to meet two young characters who share a very real and a very familiar need, the need for friendship and a home and belonging. And the kids of the audience get to root for these characters, Corduroy to find his button and Lisa to win over his mom through all their ridiculously flawed attempts. It's a story, as it's told on the stage at CTC, that offers lots of laughs, but also moments that might touch the heart of audiences no matter their age.
One thing I truly enjoy about Children's Theater Company is that they really make sure that children of all ages have a play to go and see or have a musical to go and see. It really is quite remarkable. So tell me what age group this is for.
Well, you know, it's multi-generational in its appeal. It can be for younger kids, even preschool age. But then I think even though the title is the one that's familiar to children as one of the picture books they may have been read to when they were very little, there's enough in this play to really, really be enjoyed by a whole family, kids much older. I remember in the original production at Children's Theater Company, there was a response from a mother who said, if I had known this play would be what it was, this would have been the one play I took my whole family to, even though at first she would have guessed because of its subject matter that it was just geared for the littlest ones.
Yeah. So how many shows are you doing between February 14th and April 2nd? It is quite a few. Are you doing it Monday through Saturday?
You know, Geraldine, you're going to have to ask Children's Theater Company. I live in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. They've been kind enough to invite me to come up for the end of rehearsal and the opening of the show. But I don't know their full schedule, to be truthful with you. But it'll be a lot of shows, not just, I imagine, for public performances, but also for school day matinees as well.
Well, I know the children are excited about it. These are really, really famous books and stories that children never forget. And there will be some that are really, really young, and there will be some that are much older, like me. That would come see it. So congratulations to you bringing this forward at the Children's Theater. If there was one thing you would want people to know about this particular piece that you haven't told many, what would it be?
Well, you know, the message of it that I find closest to my heart is the one that I share with the Corduroy, the bear itself. It's that idea that sort of the sadly mistaken notion that we all may have now and again, that we're not quite good enough as we are, or we're too broken in some way, that we need to find something missing in, or something needs to be fixed in us to be worthy of another's love. And then, of course, we get that very wonderfully reassuring message at the end when Lisa brings Corduroy home, fixes his button, but says to him, I really need to do this, quote, I like you the way you are. That's pretty special to me.
That's awfully special. Thank you for sharing that with us, and thank you for joining us. If people want more information, what website do they go to?
Children's Theater Company.
There you go, Children's Theater Company. And, of course, many of us know where it is. We've been there many times, and we'll have to get our tickets as soon as possible. Is it on sale now, the tickets?
I'm sure. Yes, indeed. And I hope you all have a great time when you go. And I sure you will. Children's Theater Company does just wonderful work. Thank you, Geraldine. Good night.
You take care, Barry. Thank you. And, of course, all you have to do is make sure that this is United Health Group stage. This is the big, gigantic stage there. And, like I said, the opening night is Saturday, February 18th, although the show really starts with previews, I'm assuming, February 14th. So do get out and take your children to this. I've taken my children to Children's Theater, my grandchildren, I should say, to Children's Theater, and it has been a blast. It has not disappointed me yet. I'm not looking to be disappointed. So just know that there are some adults cast in this as well. Dean Holt, you all know and love him. I love him. He's a member of the CTC's acting company and appearing in more than 100 memorable productions in his time at CTC. And he's a two-time Ivy Award winner and so much more. So go out and see this wonderful piece. And, you know, always write us if you want to and just let us know how great it was. We're going to take a break and we'll be back in a moment. It is now 9:35 here at WCCO, and I am so excited because one of my favorite people to be on radio with is Rohan Preston. He's the lead theater critic over at the Star Tribune, and we are so excited every time we can get him on, and we don't get him on much, do we?
not enough. Happy New Year, by the way. It's wonderful to talk with you.
It's great to hear you, man. Yes.
Thank you, and it was fun last weekend. Shaletta was doing her Geraldine impression, and it was wonderful and funny at the same time.
She's hilarious, man, and she's beloved already. It's just beautiful. I'm just curious to know what you're up to, man. You've been doing so much. You're in and out of the state, and you know, you're always working so hard. Tell me what is new for you.
Well, you know, and what's interesting is, theater has come back, and it's not just the shows that are back. There's so much news in the business. And this week, what was interesting, and it's a really good news story, children's theater actors Autumn Ness and Reed Singman, they escaped a fire that gutted their home, destroyed their home, but they made it out, and their kids were at school at the time, and the community has rallied behind them. So there's news in the theater world, and that's a really wonderful good news story as well. So I'm happy for them. Reed Sigmund last holiday played the Grinch at Children's Theater for the fifth time, and and his wife Autumn Ness, who's also an actor in the company, they've been in the company now since 2002. His wife played Mama Who in that production, and they've also played. He's played Shrek and Mrs. Shrek, or, you know, that. So they have a huge history, over 100 roles each at the theater since then, you know?
They are remarkable and funny and wonderful and warm. And every time I see them, whether they are in costume or not, if they're on the stage or not, they are so warm. You know, they just come at you with this their gigantic smiles and arms open as if to say, welcome. It's great to have you in our company again. It's just so awesome. So every time I see them perform, oh my God, I get so excited. So tell me, when you get a chance to see them and you know how gifted they are, you know, I'm just curious to know, what are your expectations every time? Is it the same,
you know,
or does it ever change?
And that's a wonderful question, because it's a question also of how I go into a show. And I do that old Calgon commercial, right? Calgon, take me away. You know, I sort of want to, I go with as openness as I can, and really want to be, you know, be on that journey to see how far I can go with them. And I try not to have any sort of rigid thing. Like, I've seen him do this world before, and he was better. He was so good then, I don't know how he's going to do it, or vice versa. You know what I mean? And so I really just try to go with as much openness as possible. I remember Tyrone Guthrie, founder of the theater, used to tell his acting company something that I like, which is like, you know, astonish me in the morning, which is like, I'm hoping for something great at all times. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. And here's the thing for me, is that our actors, the ones that we know so well, the ones that we have seen in so many plays, especially for you, I know that they know how much we love them. They know that we'll come out and be there when we can. But what is remarkable to me is that they're still at it. You know, some of our actors, whether they're at CTC or not, or at the Guthrie Theater, they have been doing this for decades. And I can only imagine, you know, when they sit down to say, okay, when do I say it's time to stop? And I think I asked you that question once before, because for me, it's going to be really hard for me to stop singing. I would probably have to have major problems with my voice for me to be able to stop. And I'll still keep trying to find other ways to sing because I love it so much. So I'm sure that you have witnessed that, right?
Yeah, and what you're talking about is that joy. I mean, it's like, so it's not a job for you. It's, you know, it's a joy. And
I
think that's what you're talking about. And that's certainly how I feel. And you can tell when people have that joy, you know, or you can tell when they don't, or they're, you know, people like to say phoning it in or whatever, they're going through the motions, pick your expression. But it is that joy. And you can tell, you can see that spirit, you can feel that spirit, it's transported to you. And so, yes, when you mention Reed, Sigmund, and Autumn Ness, they're able to transport that too. And there's one other sad story that happened this past week, which is I reported on Terry Bellamy, who's a founding member of the Acting Company
for
Number Theater.
Beloved,
much beloved and much respected. Died last weekend at age 70, and so of COVID. And so that, you know, that's really, that was really also challenging, and he was someone, as someone said, you couldn't half step with him on stage. He was fierce, and he brought everything, and he expected all his company members to do the same, you know?
Yeah, and can we just mention he's good-looking, too? He was good-looking, I'm just saying. I'm going to give him his props while I can, you know?
Yeah, I know, a leading man, a brilliant leading man. You know, it's interesting. You're from a very wonderful family, artistically very gifted family. And the Bellamys, too, are another gifted family in town. And if you look, we have a number of those families here. And they're, you know, they're worth the celebration. And so Terry, you know, Terry Bellamy, I have to tell you, would call me from time to time and really just to talk about my work, talk about his work. And I had such amazing respect for him because he had such great insight and a level of honesty that was really wonderful and refreshing. And it wasn't honesty as kind of, I don't know if we want to call it, to hurt you. It was just honesty coming from a place of kindness and generosity, you know, and that's how he lived in the, carried himself in the world, and that's how he lived. I obviously you don't try not to get close to people, but you know, I definitely felt that loss.
It's impossible not to get involved in people, though. It's really
it's just impossible.
Especially when you care. And you are a man who loves theater. I mean, it is your world. And, you know, not including the family, of course. But it really is. It is something that you absolutely love and you are engaged completely. And I've watched you. You know, sometimes you'll be sitting like on the third row and Gerlin's on the 25th. And it's okay. It's okay, darling, right? I don't do what you do by no means. But I must say that there were times where I didn't sit so far from you, and I couldn't wait for the intermission to happen. You don't know this. the intermission to happen. And I would try to see, because you would stand up at intermission and just kind of turn around and look around at the audience. And I always wondered, what is he trying to glean from the faces in the audience? What I did accept and learn on my own is that you were the one that would get up as though you had already made a decision about that first act. Intermission happens, and you turn as though to look into our eyes, all of us, those that don't even realize it, look into our eyes as though your eyes are talking to us saying, don't you move, don't move. You know, if you got to go run to the restroom, but come on back. It's worth it. Just wait for the second act. Those are the sort of things I see in you way back on the 25th, 35th, 45th row, you know.
Yeah.
But I see that in you because you love it. Love it.
I do. I love it. And I love the fact that art is so powerful and that artists can transform themselves and be these amazing vessels of this creativity that's transporting, that for some people that's healing, that for others that's just dazzling, you know, that takes you away and takes you into a place I like to call of dreams. I was talking with my wife about architecture and art. We were having this conversation, and one of the things about art that's so amazing to me is that we are talking about people's dreams often. And right. And when you're talking with people about their dreams, and when you're meeting them at that place, it is so special because it's first of all, it's elevated already, and then you're meeting them at their place of joy, of their place of hope and longing, of their aspiration, all of that stuff. It's just amazing. So yeah, I get to do that. I get to do that all the time. I just love it, frankly, you know?
So what happens when something happens that is painful for you? Maybe it's an actor or someone that you saw be injured during a performance, or you know that they're suffering from something. One thing about actors or performers, period, they don't tell a whole lot about what's going on in their lives, right? You can see it, you can feel it, you know them well enough. You're like a brother to some, or, you know, I'm curious to know, how do you deal with that when you see it on the stage and you know something is wrong? And maybe you even know what is wrong. How do you handle that?
Well, you know, one of the things, and it's a great, great question. I'm a human being dealing with other human beings. And so, the way I cover things, just in terms of my work, is I hope with some sense of compassion and some sense of as much understanding as I can, you know, still maintaining my integrity and honoring those who I'm writing about, frankly. I'll give you a different example. One example that's from a different thing. When I saw the movie Respect, for Aretha Franklin, at one point, I'd reviewed her.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Just got a new puppy or kitten. Congrats. But also, yikes. Between crates, beds, toys, treats, and those first few vet visits, you've probably already dropped a small fortune, which is where Lemonade Pet Insurance comes in. It helps cover vet costs so you can focus on what's best for your new pet. The coverage is customizable, sign-up is quick and easy, and your claims are handled in as little as 3 seconds. Pro tip, Lemonade offers a package specifically for puppies and kittens. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet. Your future self will thank you. Your pet won't. They don't know what insurance is.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent.
I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, Dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to Plansmore, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It is now 9:35 here at WCCO, and I am so excited because one of my favorite people to be on radio with is Rohan Preston. He's the lead theater critic over at the Star Tribune, and we are so excited every time we can get him on, and we don't get him on much, do we?
not enough. Happy New Year, by the way. It's wonderful to talk with you.
It's great to hear you, that. Man. Yes.
Thank you, and it was fun last weekend. Shaletta was doing her Durlin impression, and it was wonderful and funny at the same time.
She's hilarious, man, and she's beloved already. It's just beautiful. I'm just curious to know what you're up to, man. You've been doing so much. You're in and out of the state, and you know, you're always working so hard. Tell me what is new for you.
Well, you know, and what's interesting is, theater has come back, and it's not just the shows that are back. There's so much news in the business. And this week, what was interesting, and it's a really good news story, children's theater actors Autumn Ness and Reed Singman, they escaped a fire that gutted their home, destroyed their home, but they made it out, and their kids were at school at the time, and the community has rallied behind them. So there's news in the theater world, and that's a really wonderful good news story as well. So I'm happy for them. Reed Sigmund last holiday played the Grinch at Children's Theater for the fifth time, and his wife Autumn Ness, who's also an actor in the company, they've been in the company now since 2002. His wife played Mama Who in that production, and they've also played. He's played Shrek and Mrs. Shrek, or, you know, that. So they have a huge history, over 100 roles each at the theater since then, you know?
They are remarkable and funny and wonderful and warm. And every time I see them, whether they are in costume or not, if they're on the stage or not, they are so warm. You know, they just come at you with their gigantic smiles and arms open as if to say, welcome. It's great to have you in our company again. It's just so awesome. So every time I see them perform, oh my God, I get so excited. So tell me, when you get a chance to see them and you know how gifted they are, you know, I'm just curious to know, what are your expectations every time? Is it the same, or does it ever change?
And that's a great, that's a wonderful question, because it's a question also of how I go into a show. And I do that old Calgon commercial, right? Calgon, take me away. You know, yeah. I sort of want to, I go with as open, much openness as I can, and really want to be, you know, be on that journey to see how far I can go with them. And I try not to have any sort of rigid thing. Like, I've seen him do this world before, and he was better. He was so good then, I don't know how he's going to do it, or vice versa. You know what I mean? And so I really just try to go with as much openness as possible. I remember Tyrone Guthrie, founder of the theater, used to tell his acting company something that I like, which is like, you know, astonish me in the morning, which is like, I'm hoping for something great at all times. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. And here's the thing for me, is that our actors, the ones that we know so well, the ones that we have seen in so many plays, especially for you, I know that they know how much we love them. They know that we'll come out and be there when we can. But what is remarkable to me is that they're still at it. You know, some of our actors, whether they're at CTC or not, or at the Guthrie Theater, they have been doing this for decades. And I can only imagine, you know, when they sit down to say, okay, when do I say it's time to stop? And I think I asked you that question once before, because for me, it's going to be really hard for me to stop singing. I would probably have to have major problems with my voice for me to be able to stop. And I'll still keep trying to find other ways to sing because I love it so much. So I'm sure that you have witnessed that, right?
Yeah, and what you're talking about is that joy. I mean, it's like, so it's not a job for you. It's, you know, it's a joy. And
exactly.
And I think that's what you're talking about. And that's certainly how I feel. And you can tell when people have that joy, you know, or you can tell when they don't, or they're, you know, people like to say phoning it in or whatever. They're going through the motions. Pick your expression, but it is that joy, and you can tell. You can see that spirit. You can feel that spirit. It's transported to you. And so, yes, when you mention Reed, Sigmund, and Autumn Ness, they're able to transport that too. And there's one other sad story that happened this past week, which is I reported on Terry Bellamy, who's a founding member of the acting company
for
Number Theater.
Beloved,
much beloved and much respected. Died last weekend at age 70, and so of COVID. And so that, you know, that's really, that was really also challenging, and he was someone, as someone said, you couldn't half step with him on stage. He was fierce, and he brought everything, and he expected all his company members to do the same, you know?
Yeah, and can we just mention he's good-looking, too? He was good-looking, I'm just saying. I'm going to give him his props while I can, you know?
Yeah, I know, a leading man, a brilliant leading man. You know, it's interesting. You're from a very wonderful family, artistically very gifted family. And the Bellamys, too, are another gifted family in town. And if you look, we have a number of those families here. And they're, you know, they're worth the celebration. And so Terry, you know, Terry Bellamy, I have to tell you, would call me from time to time and really just to talk about my work, talk about his work. And I had such amazing respect for him because he had such great insight and a level of honesty that was really wonderful and refreshing. And it wasn't honesty as kind of, I don't know if we want to call it, to hurt you. It was just honesty coming from a place of of kindness and generosity, you know, and that's how he lived in the, carried himself in the world, and that's how he lived. So, obviously you don't try not to get close to people, but you know, I definitely felt that loss.
It's impossible not to get involved in people, though. It's really, it's just impossible. Especially when you care. And you are a man who loves theater. I mean, it is your world. Not including the family, of course, but it really is. It is something that you absolutely love and you are engaged completely. And I've watched you, you know, sometimes you'll be sitting like on the third row and Gerlin's on the 25th and it's okay. It's okay, darling, right? I don't do what you do by no means, but I must say that there were times where I didn't sit so far from you, and I couldn't wait for the intermission to happen. You don't know this. The intermission to happen. And I would try to see, because you would stand up at intermission and just kind of turn around and look around at the audience. And I always wondered, what is he trying to glean from the faces in the audience? What I did accept and learn on my own is that you were the one that would get up as though you had already made a decision about that first act. Intermission happens and you turn as though to look into our eyes, all of us, those that don't even realize it, look into our eyes as though your eyes are talking to us in, don't you move. Don't move. You know, if you got to go run to the restroom, but come on back. It's worth it. Just wait for the second act. Those are the sort of things I see in you way back on the 25th, 35th, 45th row, you know.
Yeah.
But I see that in you because you love it.
I do. I love it. And I love the fact that art is so powerful and that artists can transform themselves and be these amazing vessels of this creativity that's transporting, that for some people that's healing, that for others that's just dazzling, you know, like takes you away and takes you into a place I like to call of dreams. I was talking with my wife about architecture and art. We were having this conversation, and one of the things about art that's so amazing to me is that we are talking about people's dreams often, and when you're talking with people about their dreams and when you're meeting them at that place, it is so special because it's first of all, it's elevated already, and then you're meeting them at their place of joy, of their place of hope and longing, of their aspiration, all of that stuff. It's just amazing. So yeah, I get to do that. I get to do that all the time. I just love it, frankly, you know?
So what happens when something happens that is painful for you? Maybe it's an actor or someone that you saw be injured during a performance, or you know that they're suffering from something. One thing about actors or performers, period, they don't tell a whole lot about what's going on in their lives, right? You can see it, you can feel it, you know them well enough. You're like a brother to some, or, you know, I'm curious to know, how do you deal with that when you see it on the stage and you know something is wrong? And maybe you even know what is wrong. How do you handle that?
Well, you know, one of the things, and it's a great, great question. I'm a human being dealing with other human beings. And so, the way I cover things, just in terms of my work, is I hope with some sense of compassion and some sense of as much understanding as I can, you know, still maintaining my integrity and honoring those who I'm writing about, frankly. I'll give you a different example. One example that's from a different thing. When I saw the movie Respect, for Aretha Franklin, at one point I'd reviewed her in Chicago for the Chicago Tribune. And when I saw the movie, I was just crying because, you know, the autobiographical details in it, those details I did not know. I just knew her greatness as a singer, pouring her soul into all these wonderful songs that I love. And so I saw her And on off night in Chicago, way back in, I think, 94, 95, and I reviewed it, and I told my editor, some flippant thing that I will not repeat here, that, you know, she was awful, you know, that she was awful. Goodness. So when I saw that, and he's like, oh, you got to put that in there. And I'm like, no, I can't. I don't, you know, I have to respect her. And in the movie, it showed her, you know, succumbing to alcohol and
right, so know, much, just, like, yeah. Some of that I couldn't take, by the way. Stuff. Yeah, some yeah. of that I could take. Oh, okay, first of all, we have to go. I don't want to hang up with you, but please know that I'm so excited. Oh, we're going to hold it until break. Okay, just stay with us, and we'll come back in a moment. Welcome back. We are talking with my friend, someone that I've known for a long time, Rohan Preston. He is the lead theater critic over at the Star Tribune, and it's such a pleasure having you tonight. Okay, as we wrap up tonight, we have about 3.5 minutes left to talk, and I just want to know, Rohan, I was in New York about, maybe 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, and I had a chance to go and see the big play, A Beautiful Noise. And it was just fantastic, right? Doing all of the music from that piece. It was just so great. And I noticed that I also went to go see Lion King. I hadn't seen Lion King on Broadway. And it was changed so much that I got frustrated with that one, right? And I'm just curious to know, is this something that happens often as a critic? Do you often see or experience a Broadway plays changing? They'll still be on Broadway, but sometimes they make drastic changes to them.
Yeah, I mean, I think the short answer is yes, that happens. Some of it is through the technology. Some of it is through keeping everything fresh and refreshed. Imagine you're an actor in a Broadway play, and you've done it for 5 years. It's wonderful in terms of a job and everything else, but you want the variation. I think audiences want that as well. So I think that does happen. I'm not sure what the changes are that you saw in Lion King. Another example used to be Les Mis, and some of that was with some of the actors bringing a different flavor to it. But also, you know, I think the technology changes, so the set design and you know, you can use projections, you can do this, that, the other. And so people keep refreshing, as it were. But yeah, it happens.
Is it necessary, though, for a refreshment? I mean, some people go and see it the first time, like this show, The Beautiful Noise, Neil Diamond music, you know, and we were all singing and screaming it at the top of our voices. The entire place was packed.
Funny.
And I loved it, right? Yeah. And I wonder if I go back in 15 years or even 10 years to see that piece again.
But one of the things, Geraldine, also, you change. That's a thing. So it's like when I see a show now, and if I see it in 5 years or 10 years, I'm a different person, so that there'll be other things in it that I may notice and other things that will change for me because I have changed as well.
So when you see changes in a piece that you really love, do you get frustrated or do you say, oh, it's time? It's time for a change.
Well, I try not to be. I try to be open to it, but you're absolutely right. There are things I love. I mean, The version of Les Mis that came through here in the fall was not the great version that I expected. And I think people are so hungry for it. Like, the audience was just screaming. They were nuts, you know. So
yeah.
It was pretty amazing.
Amazing. I wish we had more time to talk. You know, I just love talking to you and catching up. Thank you so much for joining me and giving me all this time tonight. Thank you so much. And you take care. Tell the family hello.
I will. Thank you so much. Keep breaking legs.
All right. Thank you. My goodness, everyone, this has been a great hour. Coming up next is the Mom and Michael Hour. Yes, Michael Battle will be joining us tonight. Bravo. So excited about that. And I know you've missed him as much as I have. So stay tuned. It's coming up next. Welcome back. We are talking with my friend, someone that I've known for a long time, Rohan Preston. He is the lead theater critic over at the Star Tribune, and it's such a pleasure having you tonight. Okay, as we wrap up tonight, we have about 3.5 minutes left to talk, and I just want to know, Rohan, I was in New York about, maybe 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, and I had a chance to go and see the big play. A Beautiful Noise. And it was just fantastic, right? Doing all of the music from that piece. It was just so great. And I noticed that I also went to go see Lion King. I hadn't seen Lion King on Broadway. And it was changed so much that I got frustrated with that one, right? And I'm just curious to know, is this something that happens often as a critic? Do you often see or experience a Broadway plays changing? They'll still be on Broadway, but sometimes they make drastic changes to them.
Yeah, I mean, I think the short answer is yes, that happens. Some of it is through the technology. Some of it is through keeping everything fresh and refreshed. Imagine you're an actor in a Broadway play and you've done it for 5 years. It's wonderful in terms of a job and everything else, but you want the variation. I think audiences want that as well. So I think that does happen. I'm not sure what the changes are that you saw in Lion King. Another example used to be Les Mis, and some of that was with some of the actors bringing a different flavor to it. But also, I think the technology changes, so the set design and you can use projections, you can do this, that, the other. And so people keep refreshing, as it were. It happens.
Is it necessary, though, for a refreshment? I mean, some people go and see it the first time, like this show, The Beautiful Noise, Neil Diamond music, and we were all singing and screaming it at the top of our voices. The entire place was packed. And I loved it, right? Yeah. And I wonder if I go back in 15 years or even 10 years to see that piece again.
But one of the things, Jerlyn, also, you change. That's the thing. So it's like when I see a show now, and if I see it in 5 years or 10 years, I'm a different person, so that there'll be other things in it that I may notice and other things that will change for me because I've changed as well.
So when you see changes in a piece that you really love, do you get frustrated or do you say, it's time? It's time for a change.
Well, I try not to be. I try to be open to it, but you're absolutely right. There are things I love. I mean, The version of Les Mis that came through here in the fall was not the great version that I expected. I think people are so hungry for it. Like, the audience was just screaming. They were nuts, So it was pretty amazing.
Amazing. I wish we had more time to talk. I just love talking to you and catching up. Thank you so much for joining me and giving me all this time tonight. Thank you so much. And you take care. Tell the family hello.
I will. Thank you so much. Keep breaking legs.
All right. Thank you. My goodness, everyone, this has been a great hour. Coming up next is the Mom and Michael Hour. Yes, Michael Battle will be joining us tonight. Bravo. So excited about that. And I know you've missed him as much as I have. So stay tuned. It's coming up next.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What does it mean to live a brave life? It's about showing up, staying grounded, and having the physical and mental energy to handle the pace of life. And that is one of the reasons to love Ancient and Brave and their pure, potent, powerful supplements. Ancient and Brave has been an iconic wellness brand in the UK for years, and now they've launched in the US with incredible products that change the game, like their True Creatine and True Collagen. They come in gorgeous jars or on-the-go sachets for wherever you're off to. Ancient and Brave is a certified B Corp and members of 1% for the Planet. They offer tools that genuinely support and nourish your brave, backed by scientists and experts. Right now, Ancient and Brave is offering an exclusive offer. Head to ancientandbrave.com and use the code EMMA for 20% off your first order. Give your body a little daily bravery. It adds up. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.